Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock and heavy metal. Two national radio shows, best-selling books, and host of That Metal Show on VH1 Classic. Now, Eddie's bringing his honest, no-nonsense approach and passion to the world of podcasting. You'll hear commentary, analysis, celebrity guests, and who knows what else. PodcastOne.com presents The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast for the week is all new, and it's great to have you guys tuned in, or not tuned in, downloaded in, streamed in, however the heck you're listening to the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Thank you for doing so. Of course, it is free, and we post new every Thursday, and it's great to have you guys listening. And some great news this week that came out of nowhere that I was just blindsided by and so thankful for, that this podcast, which is not even a year old, has been nominated for a podcast award, which I'm told is a pretty big deal. So thank you guys, man. That's awesome. I heard from Podcast One that I was one of their podcasts that they produced that was picked for a podcast award. So I greatly appreciate that. However that happened, and thank you for nominating me to the podcast awards. And I guess there's going to be some open voting coming up very soon where you can now vote to see if I win. I'm in the cultural / arts category, and you can go to podcastawards.com to find out more information about the awards, which are held in Vegas. And also, I'm assuming maybe even by the time you guys hear this, the opportunity to vote on my podcast to win the award will be available for you on the website. So have a look at podcastawards.com. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the nomination in my first year making the nomination for Podcast Awards to win an award for the best podcast in cultural arts. Amazing. Who knew? I don't think I've won an award since I got a Little League award when I was about 7. And that was really just, you know, politically correct thing to do. I wasn't good at baseball or anything. Actually, I take that back. I was given an award I'm very proud of from the Dio Cancer Fund for my help in Ronnie James Dio's name with the Cancer Foundation there, which I have proudly displayed. But hey, it'd be nice to have a podcast award as well. So we'll see what happens. Podcastawards.com. But it's nice to be nominated. It really is. Thank you. All right, some stuff to tell you guys about, and then this week's interview with an old friend of mine who is in a band that I feel was one of the best to come out of the 80s, Frank Hannon, one of the guitarists and founding members of the band Tesla. Some time with him this week on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Like I said, I was a huge Tesla fan. I remember seeing Tesla, and it was around 86, 87, Modern Day Cowboy video comes on MTV. And all of a sudden this band comes out, and in the height of everybody dressing up and glam and pop metal and all that, here's this band in jeans and t-shirts with two dueling guitar players and just kick ass in your face hard rock. I stood up immediately. I was like, whoa, who are these guys? And I instantly became a Tesla fan, and of course, I still am to this day. Still 4/5 of the original band. Unfortunately, Tommy Scio is no longer there, but Dave Rude does a tremendous job in his place. And I've been friends and a fan of this band ever since first seeing that video and getting that first record. Wow. Almost 30 years ago, if you can believe that. That's crazy. So Frank Hannon is going to discuss Tesla, have some fun stories, and also talk about his new band that he has on the side, the Frank Hannon Band. Frank does some gigs on the side. We're going to have him play on That Metal Show coming up in a couple weeks. We've had him on playing before. He's a big fan of the show and just a real good guy and a real good guitar player as well. So we'll talk to Frank, Tesla talk, and more. Also, just a note here, during the interview, Frank alludes to the fact that Tesla is going to be very busy this summer, and he says they've got a big tour and they couldn't announce it. You'll hear that in the interview. Of course, since this was recorded, that tour has now been revealed, and that is that Tesla will be out opening for Def Leppard and Styx this summer. So the time we did the interview, he couldn't say it, but of course it's since been said. And you'll hear me during the interview say, I think I know who it is, and he said, no, don't say it. And I totally knew, not because anyone told me, but knew it was going to be Def Leppard, only through common sense. Because you'll hear in the interview, he says it's a band we have history with. I just put two and two together, and I know that Def Leppard and Tesla in the 80s shared the same management and spent a lot of time on the road touring together. They did a couple tours together. So it was not surprising to me at all when it was revealed that it indeed was Def Leppard, and I was right, but I didn't even say it. Frank was so worried about me even just saying who I thought it was going to be messing things up that I pulled back. But you'll hear that coming up in the interview. Of course, another new episode of That Metal Show in the books. You guys responded tremendously to the episode with Anthrax that aired this past weekend, made its premiere. Alex Skolnick on guitar. That was a lot of fun. Joey Belladonna joining us via Skype. I don't know how in the world, if you watch the show, you saw during Stump the Trunk, I completely thought that the question related to Rudy Sarzo, for whatever reason, I heard the contestant say Rudy Sarzo, not Randy Rhoads. And I was wrong. She did say Randy Rhoads. But I, for whatever reason, heard Rudy Sarzo. So it made for a ridiculous moment, which, of course, the network and VH1 just loves, touring Stump the Trunk, when I sat there and said, oh, maybe Randy Rhoads played on Condition Critical and Metal Health. Of course I know that Randy Rhoads had unfortunately passed away by then. Thunderbird on Metal Health is a tribute to Randy Rhoads. So I am fully aware that, I don't know at all, folks, but I know Randy Rhoads was long gone by the time those records came out. I just heard it wrong. Why, I don't know. But I just, you know, everybody's having a field day with that. The other thing everybody's asking me about from this weekend's That Metal Show is where I got the Angel t-shirt from. And that was actually given to me by Angel's lead singer, Frank Dimino. Sent to me around Christmas time. I'm assuming there's some sort of Angel store online. So Google it and search, and I'll try to find out more, and I'll tweet it out or something. My Twitter is at Eddie Trunk, or I'll post it on eddietrunk.com, a link to the Angel store. But there is merch available that Frank does sell, and that's where I got that shirt that got a lot of reaction from this weekend. The next new episode of That Metal Show we are taping in New York City we already shot it. You'll see it this Saturday, our new start time of 9 p.m. Eastern with a replay at 11 on VH1 Classic. And it will feature former Slayer drummer Dave Lombardo, who we're having on the show for the first time, as well as John Five, who is a fan favorite, coming back on to play and sit, as well as all three members of Motorhead joining us via Skype, and an interview with Joe Elliott. So a jam-packed all-new That Metal Show premiering this Saturday, if you're listening to this podcast on our post date of Thursday. The episodes will premiere this Saturday on VH1 Classic, Saturday night at 9, and repeat 1,000 times. And also, again, just a note to everybody who has said that they don't get VH1 Classic anymore, they can't afford to buy up in their cable systems to get it, and can we still see the shows? If you are in the U.S., all the new episodes of That Metal Show do post online the day after, Sunday. So we air on TV Saturday night, and we do post online on Sundays for anyone to see in the U.S. Now, again, I know there are restrictions to try to access the web outside of America for the TV show, and I can't control that. I'm sorry. I have nothing to do with it. But I do know that if you go to thatmetalshow.vh1.com, you can see full episodes and outtakes and bonus stuff as well. So if you don't have the channel, watch it like that. ThatMetalShow.vh1.com. The new one will premiere there on Sunday. So very important for you guys to know. We're trying to find it online. Speaking of merch and t-shirts, my stuff, Eddie Trunk, Stump the Trunk, Trunk Nation, shirts, hats, and more, available on EddieTrunk.com in the merch store. Read my blog, which is The Trunk Report. Tons of appearances all listed on the homepage. A week from tomorrow, the 13th of March, is my next one. I'll be at the Music Factory in Battle Creek, Michigan. Many other appearances, both solo and with Don and Jim. Please check out the homepage of my site for all of the details on where I'm going to be headed, which includes Virginia, I think Maryland, or no, Virginia and Delaware, San Jose, California, Seattle, Portland, Garwood, New Jersey, New York City, Illinois, all on the homepage of my site. So have a look, come out and see me if you can. Be fun to hang a little bit. You can email me if you'd like through eddietrunk.com. Just hit the Contact Us tab. Those emails do come to me. Can't respond to all of them, but I'll do my best, and I appreciate you guys. I do read them all. I just can't get back to all of them sometime. Just a lot going on. Busy time for me, thankfully. A lot of good stuff going on, and we'll get to this interview here with Frank Hannon in just a second. The last thing I want to tell you guys about before we get to the interview is another thing that happened over the weekend on VH1 Classic. Now, of course, we've been having the new episodes of That Metal Show. And then right after That Metal Show, if you've noticed, there's this new half-hour series called Rock Icons, which is produced by Sam Dunn, the guy who did The Headbanger's Journey. He did the Rush film. Sam has this new Rock Icon series, and every weekend they focus on a certain artist. They did Geddy Lee after our Rush show 2 weeks ago. And then this past weekend, they focused on Rob Halford, and that show premiered after our That Metal Show with Anthrax. And I was really blown away by something. If you watch the Halford Rock Icons, sorry as I move my microphone here if there's a squeak. If you watch the Halford Rock Icons, there's a moment in it where he gets very emotional and talks about being asked to make a call to a fan who was dying of cancer and in his last days of life, and making a call to this person to lift their spirits before they passed away. And Rob, during the segment talking about this on this show, got very emotional. So did I, and a lot of other people did. And what people may not realize and didn't know about Rob telling that story is that I was the one who asked him to do it. And I never said and told the story before, only because I figured that maybe it's the type of thing that Halford wouldn't want out there for people to know that he did. And the reason I say that is because it could easily open the floodgates, something like that. You could easily then suddenly find yourself in a position where, oh, he did that for one person? Well, maybe he'll call somebody else that's ill. Maybe he'll do, well, he should call this person for their birthday. He should, and it could become this big domino effect, and you just don't want to call on people and ask them to do things like that all the time. But the real story goes that, as many of you know, in the U.S., I also do a national live radio show on Mondays on Sirius XM satellite radio. And there's a gentleman at Sirius XM that I've known for a really long time. He's a friend. His name is Steve Cohen. And he oversees the sports channels on satellite radio. Stevie called me about a year ago, and he said, listen, I'd never do this. I'm taking a long shot here. But I have a dear friend who's got just a few days left to live and has cancer. He is a Judas Priest fanatic. And it would be the most amazing thing in the world if Rob would call him in the hospital for 5 minutes And if he could talk to Rob Halford and say he actually did that, it would be beyond monumental for him at this incredibly difficult time. And I usually don't do things like that and make those calls for people because it puts me in a weird spot, and I don't like to put people that I'm lucky enough to be friends with, like Halford, in situations like that. And as I said, it could open up a domino effect where all of a sudden a million people start calling you, asking you for those sort of favors. It's a very awkward, tough thing. But Stevie's a friend. His friend, who was dying, who I did not know, you could just feel, I mean, they grew up going to concerts together, they loved Priest together, and it just really touched me that I said to Steve, I'll reach out to Rob and see if he'll do this. And I called Rob and told him, and Rob said to me, send me the number, I'll make the call. Set up a time and a day and give me the number and I'll make the call. I mean, Halford and I have been friends for a long time. Rob Halford did the foreword for my first book. He and I have always been friends. As long as we've known each other, we've been very, there's a bond there. You know, I say this many times, Rob reminds me so much of Ronnie James Dio. And if you have my first book, there's an incredibly powerful story in there, in the Dio chapter, about how Rob and I were together at Dio's funeral and paid our final respects to our mutual friend Ronnie together at the funeral. Something I'll never forget. If you have my first book, read that in the Dio chapter. But I was awkward. I was unsure about doing it, and I said, Rob, listen, I understand if you don't want to. I understand if it's awkward. He said, no, I want to do it. I'll do it. Sure enough, Halford called this gentleman and spoke to him for about 20 minutes. Again, I do not know the man who died. I know his friend who called me, and I called Rob. And I never talked about it, and I never saw Halford talk about it. We talked about it since, and I thanked Rob for doing it, I never saw him publicly mention it, so I never spoke about it. So you could imagine my surprise when I'm watching this Rock Icon show this last weekend, and Halford talks about it. And as you saw, if you watch the show, it gets very emotional. And I'm thrilled that he did, because it now gives me the opportunity to tell you the full story. Because it needs to be said and illustrated what an incredible class act Rob Halford is. There's a lot of guys that go through the motions for the camera and put on a facade. Halford, what you see is what you get. He loves metal. He loves Priest. He loves his fans. And no better illustration of that than what Rob did for me as a favor to this individual, who ended up sadly passing away a couple days after he spoke to Halford, and who, it's just been about a year since he's been gone, is my understanding. And now a year later, it goes public that Halford did that on the TV show. So a lot of people brought up to me how emotional Rob was during that, and how heartfelt that was, having no idea that I was actually at the center of it. And it floored me, because I had no idea he was ever going to talk about it publicly. And then when I saw him do that, I said, well, great. Because now I can tell the story of what really happened and how it happened, because Rob should be given the full credit and accolades for being so cool to do this, to take time out, a total stranger, someone he doesn't know at all, and to just pick up the phone and say hello to a fan. Can you imagine what a tough situation that is? You don't know the person at all. You know that they are not going to live much longer. And what do you say? And I was not there when Rob made the call, but by all accounts, he couldn't have handled it better. So kudos, as always, to the metal god. One of a kind, folks. And just another example of what a absolute class act the great Rob Halford is. You know, Priest was my first ever podcast, going back whatever it's been that I've been doing this 6 months or whatever. I believe you can still grab it at podcast1.com or on iTunes. But I've got a long history with those guys, and maybe we'll do a one-on-one podcast coming up soon with Halford, because we'll be able to get into a lot more as well. All right, we're going to talk to Frank Hannon in just a few. I just want to make sure to thank you all for your support and thank all our sponsors to the Eddie Trunk Podcast for your support. It truly means a lot and allows this podcast to be free of charge. You guys listening and the sponsors, you all contribute to the success of this show. You that listen and support the sponsors I tell you about, that's how we keep the podcast free. And you can support our sponsors by going to my show page at podcast1.com, clicking on the Support This Podcast banner. There you will see all of my great sponsors that help keep the lights on here. In addition to my sponsors, you can also support the podcast by using my Amazon banner. You know by now, when you shop through Amazon, you click through that banner, because Amazon offers this show a small commission on any product you purchase. You can even use my Amazon banner if you're located in Canada or the UK. And to make it easier for all future purchases, feel free to bookmark my Amazon URL. Thank you to Amazon. Be sure to click through the podcast1.com page on my page. All of my sponsors, Amazon and the others, click through them first, and then that will take you to their sites and do your shopping. Won't cost you a penny more, but helps this podcast. And again, thank you for nominating the Eddie Trunk Podcast in this year's Podcast Awards, podcastawards.com, for more information and to vote. Thank you for your support. Amazing. Really cool. In my first year of doing the Eddie Trunk Podcast, to be nominated for a podcast award. We'll hear from Tesla guitarist Frank Hannon coming up on the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
From the Oscar-winning screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave comes television's most extraordinary new dramatic series. Starting Thursday, March 5th, watch American Crime live at 10, 9 Central on ABC. Then tune into the American Crime podcast hosted by me, Elvis Mitchell. Each week we'll have a candid conversation with show creator John Ridley, plus show talent, character storylines, and more. Go to podcast1.com/American Crime to subscribe now.
Hey, you guys, you know by now how crazy expensive razors can be. What a hassle it can even be sometimes to actually buy razors. I mean, you go into some drugstores and they're behind what looks like bulletproof glass. Not to mention they're crazy, crazy expensive. DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors and grooming supplies for just a couple bucks. It's simple and it's smart. It takes about 2 minutes to get going, and you never have to worry about razors again. And because you're getting a great deal on them, you never have to worry about stretching that razor too much, where the next thing you do, you hack your face up. You're walking around with little dabs of toilet paper on your face where you cut yourself. What happened, dude? Well, I pushed too many shavings out of my razor because they're expensive. Nah, don't worry about that anymore. DollarShaveClub.com has got you covered. You get the free handle. They send you replacement blades for just a few bucks. You get the blades delivered every month or every other month, whatever works for you. They arrive like clockwork. Upgrade to the smarter way to shave. Get your shave gear where I get mine, dollarshaveclub.com/trunk. Shave time, shave money, dollarshaveclub.com/trunk, T-R-U-N-K. Use that code, dollarshaveclub.com/trunk.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
And of course, you know Frank from being one of the founding members of Tesla, and he joins us on the phone line right now. You know, brother, I always loved a great melody and a little power pop vibe, and I love the new record.
Wow, thanks, Eddie.
Listening to this record, your new record here, Frank Hannon Band World Peace, the one thing that I took from it, I only had a chance to listen to it through one time, is that you have a lot of diversity on here. You really go in a lot of directions. Was that kind of the plan?
Yeah, you know, like Spinal Tap said, you know, changing their style is their style. I can totally relate to that, man. And, you know, I probably confuse a lot of people, but if you listen to Tesla, Tesla's got Love Song, Tesla's got What You Give, but also has Modern Day Cowboy and Song and Emotion and Coming At You Live. And those are all songs that I had a big hand in writing. So, you know, I'm kind of schizophrenic when it comes to music, man.
But that's totally true, Frank. I mean, that's one of the things that I always loved about Tesla is that at your core, you're a in-your-face, great hard rock band, but you've always taken those turns. You guys started, one of the bands to start the whole acoustic unplugged thing. You've always had those ballads. You've had epic things like Changes and Song and Emotion and all that sort of stuff. So all those sides, it's still all rock, but it's really what makes up, what I think what makes you guys such a special band.
Thanks, bro. You know, somebody said a long time ago that we were born 10 years too late. You know, we came out in the 80s and the hair era, but, you know, we're influenced by the Stones and Zeppelin and UFO and Queen and the Beatles. And if you listen to all of those bands that we were influenced by, they all dabbled in everything from blues to country to, you know, Indian sitar music. I mean, there's so much great music out there to pull from and to be inspired by. And so I think that is what set us apart from the other 80s bands is we had a lot of diversity in our sound, whereas a lot of the 80s bands had a very, you know, one-track kind of sound, you know, which some people say is actually better to be more consistent. But I don't know, man. Music is so much fun, and I like dabbling in all of it and experimenting. I mean, if you listen to my other solo albums, Gypsy Highway borders on being a Willie Nelson album. So, you know, like I said, I'm a schizophrenic musician.
Yeah, but that's cool. I mean, I dig that. And I'm not a fan of the term hairband. I never was. I think it's derogatory. I think it's limiting. I never liked it. And I really hated it when people put you guys in that category, because if people knew anything about Tesla and their history, they know exactly what you just said. The band was always a straight up hard rock band. You never, even though you came out at the height of that stuff, you're never going to see pictures of Tesla with big teased up hair and eyeliner and spandex. You guys, I mean, from the Modern Day Cowboy video on, you guys always came out jeans, t-shirts, just kicking ass. It was always that approach. It's not like you went to that because that became unfashionable.
Yeah, there's maybe one or two pictures floating around where they got the Aquanet on us. Like,
oh yeah,
the Hang Tough era. You know, there was a lot of pressure when Tesla came out with our second album to compete with Guns N' Roses and Poison. And we had some of the same photographers taking pictures of us. And we were really hard to work with because we didn't want to do that. We didn't want to puff our hair up and get too poofy. But, man, they tried hard to do it. And there's a couple funny pictures floating around, but not very many, man.
I got to see that, man. I got to see Jeff with eyeliner and poofed up hair.
Not as half as much as some of our peers, bless their hearts. You know, I mean, Brittany Fox had us beat by a mile.
Oh, well, Brittany Fox would have had anybody beat, man.
But we love Brittany Fox and Cinderella, and we're going to be playing with a lot of those bands on the Monsters of Rock cruise. You know, that's coming up here pretty soon. And,
yeah, which we always have such a good time on. We hang so much on that, and it's always great seeing you guys on that.
And, you know, and I'm really excited to announce that Frank Hannon Band, my solo band, is going to be playing by the poolside, playing a lot of stuff from the World Peace album on the cruise as well. And like you said, we've always kind of been like the underdog outcast from the norm. Right now, iTunes, I can't get them to freaking carry my new album. For some reason, there's a problem with the text or something. So what we've done is gone on frankhannon.com. And for the same price that you would get the album on iTunes, $9.99, you can get all the artwork and everything downloaded for people who want to download music. You can download it off of my website. So frankhannon.com is where you can get it. Or you can get the physical copy there, too.
Yeah, well, that's what to do, man. I mean, you talk about
everybody knows me, man. I'm old school, and I want the CD, and I'm looking at your CD, and it's got a cool cover, and I'm looking at the booklet and the pictures and the inside, and thank you for the thank you and the book and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's so cool. You got to get the CDs. It's just still the way to go as far as I'm concerned. And then you can take the CD and rip it into your phones or your devices and have it both ways, right?
Exactly, man. You and I grew up in the era, man, where it was so fun to go to the record store and be standing in line and waiting for the new Van Halen album to come out and hold it in your hands and see the pictures, you know. I'm actually thinking about printing some vinyl of this album. We're so happy with this album. And by the way, people, don't let the title World Peace fool you, man. There's some angry, pissed-off rock and roll music on this album.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll let people hear that, no doubt, at some point. But
I gotta
tell you, going back to real quick, just to clarify something, we were talking about the whole, you know, the whole image of what came out of the 80s. I don't judge any of those bands that got into that because that was how everybody looked back then. To me, it was never an indictment on their music. Some made great music, some didn't. So there were, you know, everybody looked ridiculous back then. There were only a few people that dodged that. I always think it's funny when you look at the guys from the 70s who tried to look like the bands in the 80s. Like, look at Ozzy in the Shot in the Dark video. He's running around with eyeliner on and a sequined robe and his hair all spiked up. You know, so
yeah.
Everybody fell into that. It doesn't mean whether your music was good or not. It was what, you know, what the fashion was at the time, for sure.
So, totally, man. And the 80s were such an interesting era. It was so competitive. And there was such a corporate, like, you know, you had to do anything and everything to try to get noticed visually. So bands would, you know, compete with how much you could dress up and how radically you could go crazy, you know, and, how many crazy things you could do to get attention. It was a crazy era.
Well, when you guys were signed, and I spent a lot of time with the guy who signed you, Tom Zutaut, who also produced the latest Tesla record, and we spent a lot of time talking on the Monsters of Rock cruise last year. And you know, I'm curious, when you were signed, was Tom and the Geffen people, because you were on a huge label and all that stuff was happening, was there pressure out of the box to kind of mold you into something? I know you changed your name to Tesla, but was there anything else? Like, was there that outside pressure even from the get-go?
Well, you know, not from the get-go. Here's what's funny, man. When we were a club band, okay, like before we got signed, there was a lot of competition on just to be able to get gigs in the clubs. And so we were playing top 40 music of the era, 1982. We were playing Loverboy songs, but our heart was into playing AC/DC and Scorpions and that kind of stuff. And so when Ronnie Montrose met us, he saw us playing these pop songs and kind of dressing up pop, and we had this pop name, City Kid. And Montrose was like, "Hey, man, I know you guys want to rock. You got to quit doing this pop shit." So we listened to his advice, and we went back to our roots and started playing and writing heavy rock songs that we loved. And Tom Zutaut nurtured that, man. He was like, "Yeah, guys, you know, be yourselves and you know, do your Humble Pie, your Rolling Stones style of music that you love to do, and the AC/DC vibe." And that's, so we did that, and then that's when we recorded our first album in the studio, and they actually nurtured us to be ourselves.
Now, that's really cool. So Ronnie Montrose had a big impact on Tesla, huh?
Oh, heck yeah, man. He used to give us lessons. He would come to our rehearsal room up in Sacramento, and that's the other thing that kind of set us apart. We're from what then was a smaller town, and the music business was Sacramento, up north, and Ronnie Montrose was sent from San Francisco, and he would come up to Sacramento and give us lessons and coach us and take us in the studio and encourage us to rock. In fact, we had a song called "Don't Damage the Rock," which was about don't be a poofter and, you know, write pussy music. So
did that turn into "Don't De-Rock Me"?
Yeah, along the same lines of that one. Yeah, exactly.
I always love that title. I always love that song, "Don't De-Rock Me." That's a great sentiment. It sounds like the same vibe.
Yeah, "Coming At You Live" was influenced by Gamma. Ronnie Montrose had a song called "Ready for Some Action." And, you know, if you listen to early Montrose Gamma stuff, we were really influenced by Ronnie a lot. He was just a great mentor to us. And Tom Zutaut, the same thing. But so the second half of the story is, though, Eddie, is that when our second album was coming, then it was the, all of a sudden, then they did try to change us into being like Guns N' Roses or Poison or being, it, they called it the sophomore jinx. Now, we didn't personally feel that way, but all the people at the label and the management company, they wanted us to have a really big selling second album to outdo our first album, you know, to make some more money. And so that, you know, they did put a little bit of pressure on us at that point.
Yeah,
so
well,
what's funny about that is our biggest hit song, Love Song, was our own song that we fought for. And so then after that, Psychotic Supper and everything else, we did it our own way.
Wait, what do you mean you fought for Love Song? They didn't want it on the record?
Right, yeah, they thought it wasn't a commercial hit, and it turned out to be our only top 10 hit that we had. So it's funny how that works out, man. Music business is pretty funny.
Yeah, it is, and it's in a world now that's totally uncharted territory. I mean, every artist that I talk to has a different plan on how they're going to do things. They want to just release singles. They're going to release albums. They're going to do EPs. They're going to do their own label. They want to sign with a label. Tesla is a band that, you know, you had the huge deal with Geffen for a long time. Now you've been doing it on your own, or you've got your own label, or you're going through major labels. I mean, what do you make of all this, man? I mean, it's you've seen quite a bit in the 30 years you've been doing this or so. What do you make of where we are now?
Dude, it's, you know, it's got some great points about it that you can be totally independent, you know, but what it does is it separates the musicians who have the real drive in their heart and work ethic to stick to it and to fight and write songs and get stuff done. Tesla is independent now. We do have a 30-year history, so that, of course, helps us. But like me personally, making albums like I just did, building my own website, frankhannon.com, and basically kind of starting over, if you will. But I'm driven, and you have to be driven, and it's a blessing on the hand that a young band, or any band for that matter, can completely control their own music. And the one thing that they can't change in it is playing live. If you're a good live band, that's going to be your vehicle. Go out and play shows, play clubs, and kick ass playing live. And that's the key to it all right there.
Well, here's the problem I see, though. I see a problem of oversaturation. I see bands, because that's the only place to make money and because it's the only place to get anything going, some bands are playing too much and destroying their draw. The thing that I can honestly say about Tesla and what you guys do very smartly is you pick your spots. You guys don't overplay. And as a result, when you see these festivals like last year, M3, you guys headlined it. Monsters of Rock Cruise, you're among the headliners every year, because I think you've made it a little bit more special when Tesla plays than people in these cities saying, okay, this is the third time this year I got Tesla coming through. Sometimes less is more, and it actually helps you. And I think you guys have navigated that really well.
Well, thanks, man. I can't take any credit for that. I'd have to give that to Brian Wheat. Brian Wheat is our bass player and co-manager. He and I co-manage the band, and that's his department, man. He overlooks the schedule, and he works closely with Adam, our booking agent. And we look at the calendar, and Brian especially will look at the calendar and make sure that, you know, we haven't overplayed or been underpaid. You know, he's really good at that, and it's true, you know. But I think what you're saying for Tesla, though, really just comes down to the songs. And Jeff Keith, our lead singer, has a very special way about him that's different. You know, his songs are really heartfelt. And the fans, I mean, some of the Tesla fans are so devoted to the band because of the songs, you know, have been a soundtrack for their life. Like, some of the songs have been their wedding music, you know, like What You Give. I hear it all the time. Man, What You Give was my wedding song, you know. And so it's the heart, I believe, of Jeff Keith and Brian Wheat and the whole band put together has given us that longevity.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that it's just the way you connect with fans and with people, and it comes off, because it is very real, very genuine. And you guys are also in a pretty unique position, too, because you are a band that has still has four of the five founding members, which is a pretty good percentage. I mean, there's a lot of bands out there that have one or two guys left from the core band, the original band. You guys, you know, outside of Tommy being gone, and Dave's been in there for a long time, you've still got four of the five guys that started this, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, the chemistry's still there, and we're very blessed for that. I mean, yeah, there's one band that's touring that doesn't have any of the original guys. It's kind of a trip, man.
Well, Foreigner was doing that for a while, and I know Mick comes out and plays a few songs from here and there.
Yeah.
I don't know who else. Who else is doing it?
Well, Grand Funk, I don't think, has Mark Foreigner in the band, which is kind of like he was a big part of it. But it goes to show you that it's the songs and it's the music that people love, you know. And bless Foreigner's hearts, man. At least Mick can come out and play a couple songs. But, man, Double Vision is going to be a great song no matter from now and eternity, you know. So it's the music that outlives everything.
Yeah, that's true. And, of course, the name ownership is a huge thing. Whoever has the name always has the traction and what have you. But I think you got to have the core guys there, though, man. I mean, it's just otherwise it could be anybody doing the tribute. I mean, the songs will live forever no matter who's doing them. But if you're going to pay money to go see the band, you've got to have at least two, three of the core guys there for me, because otherwise it's just kind of hollow.
I agree with you 100%, man. There is something when you're in a room with the original members and you're sitting in an arena waiting for that original chemistry to hit the stage, you get goosebumps from it, and knowing that you're going to hear the original of the original. And, you know, like with Lynyrd Skynyrd, man, there's only one guy left, but man, when Gary Rosington plays that guitar, it sends shivers up my spine, you know?
I want to talk to you some more. And yes, Skynyrd's a great example of a band that's still great live. I mean, they're still so good regardless of who's in there. And Ricky Medlock technically was an original Skynyrd member. He played drums, I think, on the first record.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So if you want to get technical, you know, that's the other side of Frank Hannon and is the Southern rock side.
Exactly. That's one of my biggest influences, you know, Allman Brothers, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and that style of music. You know, the early 70s, man, I mean, that was just, you know, being a kid during that time was such a formative influence on my personal taste in music. You know, Deep Purple, you know, Black Oak, Arkansas. I mean, you can watch these videos on YouTube now of Cal Jam, you know, Cal Jam 1, Cal Jam 2, and it's just such great music.
Watch, for people listening, watch Black Oak, Arkansas, and watch Jim Dandy, and you will see David Lee Roth. I mean,
yeah.
Where David Lee Roth took so much stuff from. I mean, it's so, I think, obvious. And and you watch, there's that video of Jim Dandy walking around with no shirt on in the black spandex or in the white spandex or whatever, twirling the mic with the blonde hair. I mean, you look at that, that's David Lee Roth. It's crazy.
There's some great footage of that. There's some great footage of Sabbath and Deep Purple from that show. And, you know, I remember distinctively when I was a kid, Cal Jam 2 was on the midnight TV station, man, and Aerosmith and Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush. And, you know, it was such a great era for music.
I got to get more into Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush. A lot of people have brought that up to me, and I just don't know where to start. I don't know what the great record is to get. Are you a big Frank Marino fan?
Yes, and I'll tell you what the great record to get. It's called Mahogany Rush Live.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, for me, and then here's the other thing. And people ask me, why do you do your own thing separate from Tesla? You've got this great band, Tesla. Why do you do Frank Hannon Band? Well, as a kid, I grew up with guys like Peter Frampton, Frank Marino, Robin Trower, Rick Derringer, Joe Walsh, Ted Nugent, guys that played guitar and sang and did the front man kind of guitar thing. And that's always been something that I love to do, you know. But beyond that, it's playing live, man. I love to play. I'll play at a club or I'll play at an arena. It doesn't matter. Playing live and live albums. Frank Marino, Mahogany Rush, live. Frampton Comes Alive, Ted Nugent, Double Live, Gonzo, Derringer Live, all these great live albums with kick-ass rock and roll guitar players. Pat Travers Live is another one that just kicks my ass. When I was a kid, that's what I wanted to do, was be a guitar player, frontman, who plays live and just burns it down.
I just saw Pat Travers play recently, just a few weeks ago, and he still kicks ass, man. That guy is still great.
I love him, yeah.
So
man,
good.
You gotta respect a guy like that who's been doing it and still doing it, like a rock and roll warrior.
Yeah, didn't he guest on one of your last records?
He did, on my Six String Soldiers album, and that's why I ended up calling it a Six String Soldiers, is because these guys, Rick Derringer, Pat Travers, Robin Trower, Dickie Betts, they're guitar players who are, you know, pushing 70 years old, and they're still out there playing the clubs, man, still doing what they love to do.
And you have a little in with Dickie Betts because he's your father-in-law.
Yeah.
So that's got to be easy to pull that favor, I would think.
Yeah, Dickie's an awesome guy. He's given me some great advice on how to survive, and just he told me once, you just got to keep fighting, keep swinging, keep doing what you love to do, you know?
Have you jammed with him, Frank?
With Dickie, yeah, I've jammed with him on stage a few times, and up here in Reno and in Florida, and whenever we're out visiting with him, he invites me to play with him.
That is awesome. Frank Hannon is joining me. His new band, or his side band from Tesla, the Frank Hannon Band, new album out called World Peace. Go to frankhannon.com to get your copy. Frank, how do you differentiate, like between a song on this record like Lucky 13, which, you know, I could easily hear Tesla doing, how do you differentiate between what is good for Frank Hannon Band versus what you want to bring to the other guys and do with Tesla?
Well, that is just basically determined by the time frame that we're in. Like, for example, if I'm writing songs right now, most likely it'll just be on what album I'm working on right now. And, for example, when Tesla is getting together to write songs, I'll have new ideas at that time. So I quit trying to separate things. And, you know, unless I play a riff and Jeff Keith, you know, hears it and says, oh, man, I love that, please, you know, save that for me, then I'll do that. But usually the way Tesla works is we set aside a specific time to get in a room as a group and write on new ideas at that point. So I'm constantly writing, you know, I try to write new songs all the time. So if I write a song now, it'll be on whatever project I'm doing now. If I write a song next year, it'll be on that project, which will probably be Tesla. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I gotcha. I mean, and on this record, tell everybody who else you have on here with you.
Aaron Lee is the bassist, and he played on my last tour, and he helped me mix and co-produce this record. Kelly Smith is a drummer from Sacramento who's been friends with Aaron Lee forever, so they're a really tight rhythm section. And Kelly Smith also played with Brian Wheat in Soul Motor. Robbie Cerosi is a good friend of mine that's played in my Kaleidoscope and on my Guitars from Mars album, and he plays some percussion on this record, and Billy Rainey plays some guitar as well, another guitarist. But mostly this record is a power trio. When I go on the ship and when I do my shows here in the Midwest, it's all going to be a three-piece power trio format, kind of like Winery Dogs, which is another band I know you love, them guys.
Yeah, well, I had a hand in putting them together, so I've got a personal connection to them, and they're awesome.
Yeah, they are awesome, man. I can only strive to, you know, be half as awesome as they are. But that's the thing. The three-piece power trio thing is what I'm doing now with this band. It's Aaron Lee and Kelly Smith and myself.
And you're singing everything, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm singing along the lines of, you know, Joe Walsh, Rick Derringer, Ted Nugent kind of guys playing guitar and singing.
Frank Hannon's new record with the Frank Hannon Band is called World Peace. Again, go to frankhannon.com to get it. Hey, before I let you go, Frank, tell everybody the update on Tesla, because it was last year that you put out a new record, Simplicity, which is still kind of fresh. What are you guys thinking? What's the plan going forward?
Well, I just had a conversation with Brian. We've got big plans this summer that is top secret. I can't talk about it, but I will just say that it's going to be very big, a reunion of sorts in big outdoor shed arenas. but I can't disclose any more information than that. So
Wait a minute. When you say reunion, that makes me think Tommy's coming back.
No.
All right. Well, I just got good. People could run with that, so that's why I want to make sure. When you say reunion, the first thing people think is band members.
No. It's not happening. No, a reunion of us reuniting with another band that we have a history with.
Oh, I know. Now I don't. Nope. I won't say it. Well, I could say it because you're not telling me.
No, don't say it, please. I'll get in trouble.
But all I'm saying is that I know anybody who's any sort of Tesla fan and knows the history should know that what that is. That's a no-brainer.
Well, there's a couple bands that we've toured with in the past, so.
No, I know. I won't say it, but I know who it is. And nobody told me. It just came to me instantly. And the other reason why I'm thinking is because that band that I think it is, and I'll tell you, I'll text it to you, that told me that they told me they're getting ready for a very busy 2015, the singer in that other band. So I have a feeling I've got a handle on this.
Okay, well, let's just keep it at that, okay?
You didn't say anything, so you can't get in trouble.
Dude, I get in trouble no matter what. For some reason, Frank is the guy that always gets in trouble.
Well, yeah, you got in trouble when you were on that metal show when you talked about patience and the Guns N' Roses thing.
I got in big trouble over that, you know, and I actually apologized to Slash and those guys. I tried to tell them I was just trying to be funny, but, you know, sometimes when you try to be funny, it backfires on you. And, you know, I hope those guys don't hate me because I love Slash and Guns N' Roses and everybody, but... Yeah, I always get in trouble, so let's don't divulge any more information.
I won't say anything. I just have my theory.
Tesla is going out on the tour July and August, and prior to that, we're going to be playing some casinos, and we are launching a brand-new 2015 Tesla the Band fan club, which is coming in at the end of this month. People can join that and get all kinds of extra goodies.
And what about this? Weren't you guys working on a box set at one point?
Yeah, that's going to be for 2016 because 2016 will be our 30-year anniversary.
Okay. And you know, you said something that I think is funny, that you always get in trouble. But you also mentioned, and for people that don't know, you had the big record deal. You also were with one of the biggest management companies in the world for a long time, Q Prime, which back then managed Metallica, Def Leppard, all these bands. Now you're self-managed. You and Brian manage the band. How does that work out? How do you get in trouble if you're the co-manager? You're supposed to be getting yelling at everybody else.
Well, Brian's a little older than me. He's my big brother, and I seem to always get in trouble with him.
But how do you split the duties? Like you said, he deals a lot with the touring. What side do you handle?
I handle the fan club, merchandise, the designs, the graphics, the artwork. The coordinating of getting all the CDs and videos put together, all the internal artistic part of it. You know, the meet and greets, the T-shirts, accounting, getting all the stuff together for that. DVDs, you know, putting that stuff together. Website, all that kind of junk.
You like doing it?
I love doing it, man. It's been a learning curve, but it has forced me to really get my hands involved and see how much money we missed out on back in the old days as far as how things operate in the business, as far as, like, you know, buying and ordering T-shirts versus selling them and the income and the outgo. And really having what I love the most about it is the artistic nature of now, you know, the album covers, like all the graphics on the Simplicity artwork and the Real to Real artwork, Into the Now, all of that stuff was put together by myself and my artist Dwayne Circus, and so that's really rewarding to artistically have control of all of that.
How do you feel about Simplicity now that it's been out for a little while? Are you happy with the record after you've lived with it?
I'm very happy with it, and I'm looking forward to getting back into rehearsals. And, you know, we're planning on doing the full Simplicity set on the ship, Monsters of Rock. One of the shows we're going to do is going to be 90% of the whole album. And, you know, there's some great moments on there. MP3, you know, I was listening to it the other day, making a video for Rise and Fall. You know, so, I'm, you know, and the thrill of that record, too, was when Michael Wagner, who mixed a lot of Metallica records and some killer records. He mixed the album for us and made it sound really good. So I'm very excited with the record, yeah.
Yeah, Rise and Fall is one of my favorites on it for sure, right out of the gate. I love that one. Before I let you go, you know, I'm just realizing you got the Frank Hannon Band, and everybody in Tesla has... if people don't realize it, everybody has a thing they do on the side, because I know Dave has a band he does. You said Brian does Soul Motor from time to time and does some stuff. I know Troy reached out to me recently. He did a record that was a little bit different. I'm not sure what that was. The only guy that I don't think does anything outside of Tesla is Jeff, right?
Jeff has some country projects that he's involved with some friends out of Nashville that were playing with George Jones.
Oh, really? Is that a new thing?
No, that's an old thing. He did that a couple years ago. But, no, Jeff is more of a homebody, man. He recently just had a baby boy named Joe Bob as his son. And, you know, Tesla has a lot of off time and different times, you know, that we take off. So Jeff can, you know, spend time at home and stuff, which is probably why a lot of us do other things on the side as well, you know. So that's pretty much it.
Well, cool. Well, listen, man, I don't want to hold you too long, but I wish you luck with this. And, you know, we had a great moment there when you came on that metal show and played guitar in front of Michael Schenker.
That was a great moment. And, Eddie, I want to tell you, if you ever need a guitar player again, please let me come and play on your show again.
Well, I'd love to have you do that. You know, we run this piece that the audience only sees. We run this video of all the musicians, this montage. It's really cool, actually. The editors cut together all the musicians, or not all, but most of them, that have played stuff on our show, and they cut it into like a little bit of a song. And it plays for the audience to get them hyped up before we come out on the stage. And you're in it. I think you start it because you do a very like... You did like this very Bad Motor Scooter-ish sort of slide, this sort of monster slide. And that's how the song that they cut together, they made a song out of it. That's how it starts. So you're the first thing people see doing that whole intro piece. It's really cool.
I'd love to see that, man. So are you guys going to do a new season this year?
Yeah, but we're doing it in New York, though.
Well, I will fly to New York and be on it if you'll have me. I'm going to be putting out another solo album probably October or November this year, so maybe it'll all coincide together.
Well, I'd love to have you come play again. So I will. I'll talk to the powers that be, and I'll get in touch with you, and we'll see if we can find a date that works. You come to New York. We'll see what we can put together. So if you're up for taking the flight, I'm sure I could make it happen.
Sounds great. You know, and I'll talk to Jeff and Brian, and maybe we can get on there and be a guest on there too, if you're interested in that. And you know, I'm sure the guys would love to be on there. We love you, man. You've been such a good friend over the years. I mean, you know, and truly just been upfront and honest with us about your love for the band from day one. And so, you know, we really appreciate everything you're doing for us, Eddie. And I look forward to being on the cruise ship, too, together, man. I hope you can host my Frank Hannon Band World Peace Show by the pool.
Well, I definitely hope I do as well, because, you know, the cruise, now that we're into 2015... It's, you know, the Larry, I love him to death, who runs the cruise, but Larry starts promotion for the Monsters of Rock cruise like the day after the previous one ends. So there's like 360 days of promotion, and it's great and all, but you feel like it's never going to get here, and April will be here before you know it. So now I'm really getting excited, because it's such a blast with all the bands, so many that are friends, and seeing the guys. The hard thing for me is getting everywhere, because I want to see so many bands, and a lot of bands want me to intro them, which I really appreciate. But obviously, if people have never been on the Monsters Cruise, there's like four or five bands sometimes playing at the same time in different parts of the ship. So you just can't be everywhere, but you do your best to get around, and it's always fun. And then before you know it, it's 4 a.m, and you see everybody staggering around, you know, looking for pizza or something. They can barely stand up. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. What you have to do is you have to find those secret passageways and those secret hallways where, like, when you have to be at the theater at one time, and then you have to get to the back of the ship at another time. You take the elevator down to the dungeon and, like, run through the hallway to get to the back. That's what I figured out.
You're smart, and that's the thing. on a cruise ship, there's really no backstage. So in order to get from point A to point B, if you're lucky enough to have a lot of fans, you're going to get stopped every 5 seconds and, yeah, let me buy a beer. And it's great. I mean, that's what it's about. It's so much fun, but it can take an hour to get from one point to the next. So you found the catacombs on the ship. You have to show me that this year.
I will. I'll show you that, man. I'll tell you a funny story. Now this year, what I was inviting you to is the World Peace Show, but I'm also doing an All-Star Jam. And the last time I did the All-Star Jam on the ship, it had George Lynch on there, which is a whole other story we can talk about at another time. But it was so sweaty and so hot, and George Lynch was playing so loud and so crazy that I had to just bolt. And so I bolted, off the stage literally into a service elevator, and that's how I discovered this trick on the ship, is if you can bolt yourself into a service elevator and get down into the secret tunnel of the ship and then find your way to your room pretty quickly.
Make sure they know who you are, because they also have jails on cruise ships, and they might not know you are. They'll call security. You'll be looking for a guitar player from Tesla. No one will know where you are.
Yeah, it's funny, man, and they don't speak English. It's all Italians on the ship, you know. But it's funny, all the Italian crew members start recognizing me as that, you know, that crazy long-haired dude who's running from one end of the ship to the other.
Yeah, and one of my I know I won't keep you much longer, but one of my favorite Tesla stories, for you guys who have my first book, you know this story, but introing Tesla with my TV partners, Don and Jim, in England, like at the Download Festival, like 4 or 5 years ago, and I walk off the stage with Jeff's mic, and you guys started playing, and I had Jeff's mic in my back pocket, and he was out there with no mic, and he came running, hauling ass off the stage. He's like, dude, my mic. And it was so weird, because whenever I've introed a band, you never actually use the singer's real mic. It's usually a spare mic. And
right, right.
I walked down the stairs with it. I'm like, wow, that was really cool. I just introed Tesla in England. That is awesome. And then I turn around, and Jeff is tapping me on the shoulder like, dude, you got my mic. And I was like, the worst thing ever. But it was like total Spinal Tap, man. It was too funny.
It was, you know, and what was funny is he launched right into the song in the perfect time. I mean, the timing couldn't have worked out any better. I mean, you know, you handed him the mic and he ran and jumped on stage like in a split second.
I remember, because the song you opened with, I'll never forget it, was I Want to Live.
Yeah.
And you I heard you playing the open to I Want to Live, and I know where the vocal comes in, and I saw him go running up the ramp after I handed him the mic, and it's just like he got there just in time, and it was like nobody knew what happened, but great. I ruined Tesla's set at Download, you know?
Talk about adrenaline, man. That's when your heart's beating and pumping at 100 miles an hour.
Good talking to you, brother, and if I don't see you sooner, I'll see you on the cruise, but I'll see what we can do about getting you here to the East Coast to do the TV show again as well.
Sounds awesome, bro. Thanks, Eddie.
All right, Frank. We'll see you, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Frank Hannon of Tesla. Great guy, great player, and an old friend. I love his band, Tesla, since day one. One of my favorites to come out of the 80s, indeed. And Frank doing some good stuff with his own side thing. Frank Hannon Band, World Peace, is the name of the album. Again, frankhannon.com to purchase this. Thanks to Frank Hannon for being the guest on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast. Be sure to check out his new album with the Frank Hannon Band and see him with Tesla on tour this summer with Styx and Def Leppard. More information, eddietrunk.com. Twitter at Eddie Trunk, Facebook /Eddie Trunk. Thanks to Katie Irizarry, the producer of the Eddie Trunk podcast. See you next Thursday for another all new episode, podcastone.com and on iTunes. Have a great week, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.